"You're Getting Sacked in the Morning." That's the song that football fans gleefully sing to the opposition manager when their own team is winning. Now, my guest today has examined what happens before and after the manager does get sacked, and what that can tell us about management failure and firings in general. Welcome to Vox Talks Economics from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. I'm Tim Phillips. A confession, first of all. Since I was a kid, I have supported Nottingham Forest of the English Premier League. It's my local team. Now, last season, Nottingham Forest had four, count them, four managers. And we just started this season with a fifth. So the questions of whether my team should replace its manager and what might happen if they did, and they're ones that I've pondered quite a lot recently. Jan van Oors of Erasmus School of Economics and CPR has analysed the causes and consequences of managerial replacements in Dutch football, and he joins me now to help me next time I have to worry about this problem, which probably will be soon. Welcome to Vox Talks Economics, Jan.
Hello.
Jan, in a top football league, how secure is that manager's employment?
Well, in a top football league, the manager's employment is not very secure, but it's part of the game, so to speak. A manager knows that his employment is insecure. He's well paid for that. So it's business as usual if a manager gets sacked.
Now, for this research, which league did you investigate and at what times?
I looked at seven seasons of the Dutch so-called Premier League. It's called Eredivisie. Division of honour.
And the football team managers in Dutch football, what's their job? What do they have the power to do? And what do they have responsibility for?
I think it's a bit different from an English manager. In the Netherlands, the manager is responsible for the tactical game plan, substitutes during the match, motivation of players and so on, but not responsible for the composition of the squad. There is a technical manager in the Dutch football clubs who are responsible for that. So the idea is that since a manager is there only temporary, he should not have too much influence on the composition of the squad.
The manager always, in football, does get the blame when things go wrong. Is that really fair? There are so many things going on in football and so many things that aren't in a manager's control, as you've just described.
Yes, I think managing of a football club is like a figurehead. In the end, of course, he's very good in understanding the football, but he's also, it's a position that is somewhat like invented to take the blame if something goes wrong.
Yes. Yeah, and he does cop a lot of the blame. We know that. And why did you decide to investigate this? The causes and consequences of sacking for football managers. There might be a lot of people who say, well, they're not interested in football. What about chief executives?
Yes, that would have also been fascinating to do that, but it's much more difficult to investigate regular CEOs because the data aren't as good as they are in football. In football, you see the performance of a club and thus maybe the performance of the manager once a week, sometimes more than once a week. It's very transparent. It's an easy production process. There are teams competing and they all play against each other. And it's different from regular business where companies are very different. There are small companies, big companies, companies which focus on a particular product, companies who do many products at the same time. So there has been research on that, but it's not so easy to investigate.
What type of manager would you be? Recently, we spoke to Simon Quinn and Tons Flancher about an experiment in Ethiopia that placed would-be managers in a video studio to measure their traits. And also to find out what employers and colleagues preferred. Listen to Management Under the Spotlight from February 2026.
So in this research, how many firings, how many teams, how many managers are in that data across seven seasons?
In the data that I looked at in this research, there are 31 firings over a period of 7 seasons. So that's roughly about 1 in 4 managers was replaced.
Is that enough to be able to draw conclusions? Because I would imagine that not all of these firings, well, tell me, would have been about performance. There are other reasons that managers leave their jobs.
Yes. Well, 31 is not a lot. But in earlier research, which I did about 2 years ago, I looked at the top 5 European leagues. So that's England, France, Germany, Spain, and Italy. And there I had 264 managers being replaced. And the results are not that different from what I find for the Dutch league. So the number is not a lot, but it's non-trivial either.
So if you're going to do it in the future, you could just do Nottingham Forest. That will give you a decent sample size on its own. Now, some teams are better than other teams. We have to work out whether a team's results are better or worse than we would expect, I guess, to work out whether a team's doing poorly, underperforming. How can you judge that?
Well, what I do, I look at information from bookmakers. So bookmakers are supposed to use all the information when setting their odds. So what I do, I use these bookmaker odds to calculate how many points a team would have achieved if the bookmakers had it correct. Then I compare that number with the actual number of points achieved, and the difference tells you something about performance.
I see. And the idea of using the betting odds is the betting odds accumulate everything that we possibly know and give that the weight that it deserves.
Exactly. So the idea is that I look from the start of the season, how many points are actually being achieved match by match, and accumulate that over all the matches. Look at the bookmakers. And well, sometimes compared to what the bookmakers expect, the performance of a team is very disappointing. And if that is the case, then, a manager is more likely to be replaced.
Can we isolate the source of a bad result? Because sometimes it'll be bad play and sometimes it's bad luck as well.
Well, that's a bit more complicated to distinguish between the two. So
yes.
What I also do is use expected goals and transfer those and expected points. The idea is that expected goals, they are more of a good indicator of actual performance. Of course, there is also some randomness there, but expected goals tell you something about how good you're playing and whether an expected goal is turned into an actual goal. Well, that's a bit of luck.
So if you were wondering what expected goals and expected points are, so am I. I'm going to ask ChatGPT. Hey, can you briefly explain to me how expected goals are calculated?
Sure. Each shot gets a probability of becoming a goal. So models learn from huge shot data sets to say, this chance is like past ones that went in, say, 12% of the time. That shot is 0.12 XG. Then you add up all the shot probabilities, and that's the team's XG.
And how are expected points calculated?
Expected points, often written as XPTS, take the expected goals for and against, and then simulate that match thousands of times. So for each simulation, it checks whether the team wins, draws, or loses, and then gives 3, 1, or 0 points accordingly. So the average across all those simulations is the expected points.
So do unlucky managers get sacked as well as underperforming managers?
Yes.
Underperformance on both measures, that will both predict a sacking.
Exactly, yes.
Now, after a manager gets fired, then a new manager comes in, and there's always that moment of hope. When the new manager turns up and we're expecting a new manager bounce, performances will improve. When that new manager is appointed, what do you find in your data happens to results?
Results improve. So a new manager, on average, does better as the manager that was replaced.
Well, this is good news. This implies the right thing happened, that replacing the manager has worked. Am I drawing the right conclusion here?
No, you're not. Life isn't that simple. That's why you have to be an economist to study these things, I think. So what happens is that if the manager is being replaced, performance improved, but usually a manager is replaced after some bad results. And these, some of these bad results are simply bad luck. Now, what I do is I try to find of the same club where a manager is replaced in a different season, a situation when the manager then was performing as bad as the manager that was replaced, but in an earlier or later season, that manager is not replaced.
Uh-huh.
And what you then see is that if you don't replace a manager, performance goes up as well.
These are interesting results, but I'm interested in what way football managers might be like managers in business, in what ways they are different. You've spoken a little bit about that, but I'm interested in how much we can extrapolate these results to what might be happening in a business scenario.
Well, there are overlaps in terms of the ages of the manager, the responsibilities, working in a stressful situation, having to deal with PR, trying to sell the performance of the firm. So in that sense, managers are like regular CEOs, but a football manager is responsible for only part of the production process. So what's happening on the pitch and not what's happening in the rest of the football club. A regular manager, what that manager or CEO does is not so transparent. A football manager is clear. Well, there are 50,000 or more people in the stadium. There are millions of people watching the screen, television or internet. They see what's actually happening. So there's a lot of pressure on the football manager because everybody is observing what's happening and everybody has their own interpretation. What is the main difference is that a football manager, that's a temporary manager. There are only a few instances when a manager actually stayed for a very long time, and we all know the examples. If a football manager stays only temporary, there's not much that he can do to influence the long-term performance of a football club. Yeah, I think those are the main differences between two types of managers. Now, there has been some research on replacing managers in more general businesses, and there is a rare event. So if a CEO is replaced, then it's very hard for that CEO to find a new job.
Mm-hmm.
So the results from studies that I didn't do, but what other people did, show that he may find it very hard to find a new job even 3 years after being replaced, because it's really considered to be a signal of not being a good CEO. If a football manager is replaced, maybe 1 or 2 weeks later, he has a new position, because that's all part of the game.
When businesses fire the CEO, does this previous research also tell us whether there is an improvement in results, the improvement that we don't see in football?
No. What I read about literature, it is very hard to find studies that actually show that replacing a manager in a regular business actually improves performance. So in that sense, football managers and managers of regular businesses are very comparable.
And yet we keep firing managers. You did mention at the beginning that in some ways football managers are a figurehead.
Yes.
Someone who might be used as a sacrifice and perhaps a scapegoat. And perhaps some of the money that they're being paid is to compensate for this. Is that reasonable if it makes football fans happier or in the business environment, if that makes investors happier?
Perhaps strange line of reasoning would be, even although it doesn't affect the true outcome of a football club or a regular business, it makes people happy.
Uh-huh.
So if a manager is being replaced, and there's more the case in football than in regular firms, because in regular firms, I sometimes have no idea if somebody's being replaced, but if a football manager is replaced, I read it all over, there is hope. And so in that sense, it's an improvement because people become happy if a manager is replaced, even although it may not actually work. Yeah, so there is like an action bias. I once made a comparison that if you look at what's happening to a performance of a club. If it doesn't improve and you didn't do anything, then the owners or the regular management of a club are blamed. Why didn't you do anything? If performance does not improve and you've sacked a manager, well, that says the public, the fans, they say, well, at least you give it a try. And so that's a psychological mechanism. Although it doesn't have a real meaning in terms of performance, it sometimes shows that you are a good owner or a good management of a club, that you've, at least you've done something. Didn't work, but you tried.
Nevertheless, it can be expensive firing a manager in business or in football, and it can be disruptive as well. If you were advising a board, whether it's a board of a football club or a board of a different type of firm that is considering sacking the manager in the morning, what does the research that you've been doing here, what does that tell us about what they should consider, how they should go about making this decision?
It's very hard to draw any strong conclusions because I couldn't figure out why it sometimes helps to fire a manager and why it sometimes doesn't. So a long time ago, I think a decade ago, I looked at the English Premier League and also looked at the replacement of a manager. And I found that sometimes it was very successful. In other cases, it had adverse effect. The club would even perform worse. And then I thought, this is interesting, but can I find out under what conditions or what type of managers it works and it doesn't? And the answer is I couldn't. So if I would be in a board or would have to advise a board, my statement would be, don't get your hopes up too high because it's very unlikely that you'd be successful. But on the other hand, if you think that doing nothing will also not lead to success, you can give it a try. It's like flipping a coin.
When you do find out exactly which firings do improve performance, I've got a club chairman I would like you to have a word with. For now, Jan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The paper is discussion paper 21850 at CEPR. It's called Dust in the Wind, Causes and Consequences of Managerial Replacements. Author Jan van Oors.
Vox Talks Economics is a Talk Normal production. The assistant producer is Megan Bieber, and our editor is Andrei Zagarian. Next week on Vox Talks Economics, if the law on who you can put in your will was changed, what effect might that have on inequality?